chapter 24. Y'all got it? Say amen. Amen. I'm going to look at several verses of Scripture tonight, so just keep your Bibles out for a few minutes. The last couple of Sunday nights, I've made a request of you before we left. Anybody remember what it was? Huh? Give somebody a gospel tract. Tell somebody about your day on Sunday. Invite somebody to church. Try to get an opportunity to witness to somebody. Amen? Brother Harvey Ware said something when he was here, and that statement that he made, I haven't been able to get it out of my head. We talked about it, Brother Freddie and I, yesterday. He said the fruit of an apple tree is what? Fruit of an orange tree? Fruit of a tomato plant? Is that right? Of course, I guess that's a vegetable, but that's the fruit of it. Amen? You get the picture. Fruit of a Christian is another Christian. I believe that we have it set before us plainly over and over and over in the Word of God that we are to reproduce. Y'all okay? We are to reproduce as Christians. We probably shout more in this church over people being saved than we do any other one thing, and we ought to. That always ought to be the main thrust and the main focus of any Bible-believing church, and that is to produce more Christians. After that comes discipleship and training and baptism and all those things, and everything else is a sideline of that one thing, and that is that the church is a soul-winning station or a birthing station for new Christians. Amen? Why don't you look at Luke chapter number 24. Luke chapter number 24 and verse number, let's look at verse number 36. Jesus is appearing after his resurrection to 10 of the disciples. The Bible said, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your heart? Hadn't got anything to do with the message, but I'm going to stop right there just for a second. They didn't say anything. He didn't say, why are doubting words coming out of your mouth? He said, why are you troubled in your heart? Brother, that just goes to show you, Scripture backs up Scripture. God knows your heart. Regardless of what's coming out of your mouth, did you know you can say things out of your mouth and it be totally opposite from what's in your heart? Amen. You ever walked up to somebody you really dislike and faced them with a smile and shook their hand and said, it's good to see you? Am I in here by myself?
Amen.
Amen. We all have done that. What came out of your mouth was not what was in your heart. People, I've always heard the excuse, well, if it goes through my mind, it comes out of my mouth. No, it does not. You do not say everything you think, amen, but Jesus knows everything you think.
Amen.
Now, I'll be honest with you, that's a little bit scary to me.
Amen,
because I guard my mouth pretty good. But what if we guarded our heart and our thought process as closely as we guarded our mouth?
Amen.
Imagine this for a minute. Imagine if you said everything to your boss that's ever went through your mind. Would you have a job tomorrow? Of course not. Imagine if you said to your wife everything that's been through your mind since the day you said I do. I'm starting trouble, Brother Robbie said. I was afraid of that. Same goes for you, women. Amen. Aren't you glad your husband doesn't know your heart? Aren't you glad me and your wife doesn't know your heart? And aren't you glad that your boss doesn't know your heart?
Amen.
Hallelujah to that. Amen. But guess what? We're serving a God who knows our heart, and he's more interested in what's in your heart than he is in what's coming out of your mouth. Amen. You can be trained and taught to say and do all the right things, but it's useless unless it's birthed in the heart. Amen. I don't know what verse I was in. I just got caught right there and just thought I'd, yes, thank you. Verse 39. He said, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. I love this next phrase that he says. Handle me and see. Handle me and see. Look, he showed him his hands. He showed him his feet. And you know what he said? Touch me. Touch me. Isn't that something? I believe I'm going to get that same privilege. I believe I'm going to get that same privilege and that same opportunity that those disciples had in that room that day when he just appeared and stood in their midst. We're going to get to see his hands. We're going to get to see the wounds that was paid for our sin. We're going to get to see the prints in his feet where the spikes were drove through. Amen. I believe we might even get to touch him and handle him. Amen. What a blessing, boy. You couldn't do that probably this side of heaven. Amen. I doubt you could stand it. He said, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Now everything he's talking to them about is concerning what? Himself. Himself. Now watch what he said. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now watch verse 48 very carefully. And ye are, say it, witnesses of these things. He said, ye are witnesses of these things. What things? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the blood atonement for sin. Amen? He said, ye are witnesses of these things. You said, no, wait a minute, that can't include me. I'm not a witness of that. You do not have to physically see something to witness it. Are you listening to me? I did not have to physically see Jesus the night he forgave me of my sin. Amen. I could not physically see the wind blowing today, but it was driving that Toyota off in a ditch, or it was trying to. I mean, that wind gust would catch that little truck. Whoo, whoo. I couldn't see the wind, but I sure felt the effects of it. Amen. Hey, I didn't see Jesus the night that he saved my soul. I didn't witness his face. I didn't hear his words audibly, but I sure, thank God, I felt the effect of it. Amen. We are witnesses of his death, his burial, and his resurrection, and not only that, his regenerating power. There was a part of me that came to life that night that had never lived before. I was dead in my spirit. I was dead in my trespasses and sin. Somebody said, how do you know you're saved? Brother, they ain't no doubting when you get it. You know it. You can't explain it. You can't. Yeah, there ain't no way you can ABC it or 1, 2, 3 it. I mean, brother, it's like Tylenol. You got to take it to know the effects of it. Amen. And he said, you're witnesses of these things. Now, if we went to a court of law tomorrow, and I've had to do that quite a few times, and please, if you've got to go to court, don't ask me to go because it's a waste of my time. And I'm not saying I'm too good to go to court with you. They just won't never let me say nothing. And all the years I went to court with somebody to be a character witness, I got to open my mouth one time out of all the times I've ever been. But when you go to a jury trial and you're sitting in that courtroom, the judge looks at that defense attorney, the one who is pleading the case for the accused. And he looks at that attorney and he says, call your first what? Witness. Witness. Now, do they choose? Not, I'm going somewhere if you'll stay with me. Do they choose witnesses based on their education? No. Do they choose witnesses based on their oratory skills? What do they choose witnesses based on? What they know. What they saw. Every time I turn around, somebody's saying, I don't know how to witness. Yes, you do if you're saved. Let me say it again. Listen, I used to teach every year. I do it every year, and I hadn't in quite a while, and I don't intend to, but I would teach a soul-winning class. I'm not against it, but I don't think you need it if you're saved.
Yeah, that's right.
I think the fruit of a Christian is another Christian. Yeah. What do witnesses tell of? What they saw, what they heard, and what they experienced. Yeah. There's the three things you have in your tool bag of witnessing. And by the way, you team every one of those up with the Word of God, and you need nothing else. You need no hidden talent. Some people are more gifted soul winners than others. Brother James Bailey, that was one off our buses and got saved right down there, him and his wife, one of the best soul winners I've ever seen in my life. There's a guy I got acquainted with a few years ago. He was at New Manna for some time and then out there in Arkansas where Levi was in college. And I think he's in Texas now. His name's Freddie Reed. Freddie Reed. If you ever met Brother Freddie, you never forget him. He had one white eyebrow. I always remember him because he had one white eyebrow. But he was a soul-winning machine. He had a gift to witness. But listen, whether or not you witness should not be based on your ability to conversate with people. Amen. The reason you should witness is this. It happened to you. It happened to you. When somebody wins the lottery, the news team doesn't go to their neighbor's house. The news team doesn't go to a family member. They go to the one holding that big old check. Tell us what happened. Tell us what happened. All I spent was a dollar and I got 10 million. Hey, listen, let me tell you what happened. All I spent was nothing and I got treasures that money cannot buy. I was on my way to hell now because of his miraculous grace and his mercy, because of the blood that he shed for me. I was on my way to hell and now I ain't. Amen. I love to tell people on the airplane, I never do push it. I let them open the door. Where are you headed? They always ask you that. I've always thought, that's a stupid question. We're on the same plane. If I'm flying to Amarillo, I look at them, I'm going, I hope Amarillo, is that where you going? I tell them, but it's not my final destination. And usually that's their reason for asking, because a lot of times you're changing planes in this city to go to another city. And I'll tell them, I'm going to Amarillo with you, but that's not my final destination. Well, where is your final destination? I'm glad you asked. I ain't never been there, but I got a travel brochure. Amen. Listen, man, you get opportunities to witness every time you turn around. Every time. And you know what I found out? I found out over the years that there's more Christians out there than you think. Amen. Me and Brother Freddie got in the elevator. Who was with us? Terry Fennell. We went and seen Brother Anthony the first time that he was awake and alert. And we got in the elevator with a bunch of black women. I said, ladies, y'all care if we just praise the Lord? Help yourself, honey. I mean, brother, they shout with us. Amen. You'd be surprised how many of the Christians there are. But the job of a witness is to tell what he has seen, what he's heard, or what he has experienced. How many of you got saved? Tell me about it. Let me see your hand. You got saved. Do you remember it? When's the last time you told somebody about it? When is the last time? I'm scolding tonight. I'm trying to encourage you to witness to somebody. When's the last time you told what happened to you? Remember, there was a little lady at Sychar's well at noonday. Y'all remember that? She was a kind of a loose living lady, if you will. She had five husbands. One she was living with wasn't her husband, and Jesus told her all that because he knew her life just like he knows yours. And brother, when she left there, she left with that water springing up into everlasting life. She didn't go to a soul winning clinic. She didn't even go through discipleship classes. A matter of fact, she hadn't even been scripturally baptized, far as I can tell. But she went back to town, didn't she? Come see a man. Told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? That's got to be him. That's got to be him. This man knew my life. He knew my heart. He knew my thoughts. It's got to be him. That's what a witness does. He simply shares what God has done for him. Brother Thomas, you face a difficult task tomorrow with all those lost family members sitting in the room. Best thing you can do is tell them what God did for you. Amen. Just tell them, my preacher, Brother Earl, always said, son, if you hit a snag, just run to Calvary. Just run to Calvary. If you get stuck while you're preaching, just run to Calvary. You don't know what to say while you're talking to a family member? Run to Calvary. Take them to the place where you got in. That's what a witness does. Tell what happened to you. Now listen, we all got saved the same way. Every one of us. Our circumstances may have been different. Some were saved in the church house, kneeling in the altar. Some were saved under a pine tree in the middle of the night. Some were saved, Brother Jerry's back there with the Patch Club or Pee Wee's, whichever one they got. He was saved on the side of 285. He pulled over under such conviction, reading a chick track, and led himself to Christ. How about that? Called Brother Eric up and said, "Well, I got it done." Amen. Amen. We've all got a different experience, but we got saved the same way. We realized that we were sinners and we needed Christ. He was our only hope of any kind of salvation, our only hope of any kind of eternal future. And we got sorry for our sins, and we told him we were, and he forgave us our sins, and he wrote our name down in his book. And now we're going to heaven when we die. You said, yeah, but you just can't approach people with something that simple. It got you in, didn't it? It did, let me say it again. Got you in, didn't it? It was just that simple. Brother Jay didn't require that I learn to quote so many verses. We just knelt down under the pine tree. He said, son, you just need to go and tell God you're sorry. And he knew it. But he needed me to know it. Amen. A witness simply tells. Listen, I've told my testimony so many times. If I say the wrong time, people correct me. People ought to know your testimony that well. Yeah, yeah. Your family ought to know. They ought to go, oh, here we go again. Yeah, he finna tell us about when he got saved. Yeah, we know what day it was. We know what was going on. Yeah, here we go again. Yeah, amen. They ought to know your testimony. Amen. Have you ever had family members who you'd heard they claimed to be saved, but personally you'd never heard their testimony? I don't know how many times I have been asked by a family member like Miss Amanda, like Brother Sam, have a mother or a grandmother who's in their last hours, Brother Eddie, would you talk to them, make sure they know they're saved? And that's okay, and I'm glad to do it. But those things should have been done a long time ago.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm not on anybody. Don't get me wrong. I don't mean that in a harsh way. I'm just saying, if my wife has a testimony of being saved, I don't want to wait till she's dying to hear her story. And it shouldn't be my fault if I don't hear it. If she's truly saved, she ought to have told it to me. Amen. When's the last time somebody heard your story? Well, I'm afraid people don't want to hear it. There's somebody out there who does. There's somebody out there waiting to hear it. Somebody somewhere. Now listen, I want to talk. I got 7 points. I'll never get through this tonight. Maybe next Wednesday night or whenever I'm here on the next Wednesday night, we'll finish this up. But I want you to look at the people in witnessing, or the people of witnessing. The people of witnessing. Take your Bible and go to Matthew chapter number 21. Matthew chapter number 21. It's hot in here, ain't it? Matthew chapter number 21. I grew up in an era that before our church had a bus ministry, it was the preacher's job to visit. It was the preacher's job to witness. I want us to understand tonight who the people of witnessing are. Who the people are that are supposed to be witnesses. I want you to look at Matthew chapter number 21 and verse number 28. This is the parable of the two sons. He said, but what think ye? A certain man had two sons. Underline that, sons. And he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whither of them twain did the will of his father? And they say unto him, the first. And Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not, but the publicans and harlots believed him. And ye, when you had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. Now, I want you to notice who the story is about, the parable that he is liking this thing to. They are called sons. Do you understand that? The sons are the ones who work in the Father's vineyard. Hey, listen, we have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. If he's my heavenly Father, Jesus said, when you pray, pray our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. When we pray to our Father. How many of you call him Father? I call him Father. I call him Lord. I call him God. I call him Jesus. He answers to all of them. But there's something special about, you know what? He was God before I got saved. He was Lord before I got saved. And he was Jesus before I got saved. But before I got saved, he wasn't my Father. Jesus looked at that crowd and said, ye are of your father the devil. I got a new daddy when I got saved. For the first time in my life, I could legitimately call him Father. You know why? Because I am now a son. No more bastards, but sons. Thank God. For the first time in my life, I am a son of the living God. And if you're saved, you are a son or a daughter. That includes every last one of us. If you're saved, you are a son of God. Who's to witness? Sons are to witness. Sons are to witness. Now, go over to Luke chapter number 14. Luke chapter number 14. Luke chapter 14 and verse number 21. Luke 14, 21. This is the parable of the supper, where the master sent his, anybody know the word I'm looking for? Servants. Servants. Verse 21, so that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. I'll stop right there. Who's he dealing with? Servants. Servants. Paul, over and over, introduced himself as a servant of Jesus Christ. Amen. We're all interested in titles. Everywhere you look in churches, I talk to people all the time. Do you go to church anywhere? They don't just say, yeah, I go down to Fullerville. No, they got to tell you they're a deacon at Fullerville. Yeah. Or they're the youth pastor at this church. Or they're the treasurer at this church. It doesn't matter. Hey, man, we're just servants, every one of us. Whatever capacity that may be in, we're still servants. Hey, I'm a servant as your pastor. You're a servant as a member of this church. If you work in the bus ministry, you're serving in the bus ministry. If you're working in the pastorate, you're a servant in the pastorate. If you're a servant in the nursery, you're a nursery, whatever the case may be. What I'm saying is we're all servants. Amen. Amen. And oftentimes we're serving each other, and in serving each other, we're serving him. But servants are to be witnesses. Servants are the ones who are go out and get them and bring them in. Amen. I've invited somebody personally to church and witnessed to them for the last 3 weeks in a row. Not the same person. You know what? Ain't never one of them come. One of them promised. Look me dead in the eyes. I'll be there. I'll save you a seat. I always tell them the same thing. We won't start till you get there. So I just, you know, cut up and kid. None of them come. Well, aren't you going to quit? Nope. I'm three more closer to the one that will come. Amen. Why? Because I'm a son. And because I'm a servant, I want to tell people what my Savior has done for me. It's because of him I am a son. It's because of him I have the privilege of serving him. Amen. So it is sons, servants. Look at Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1. Probably only going to get two of these points out tonight, maybe. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. One of the great soul-winning verses in your Bible. He said, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Who are the people of witnessing? Sons, servants, and saints. If you're a child of God, you're a son of God. If you're a child of God, you're called to be a servant of God. If you are a child of God, you are a saint of God. Amen. Listen, the world's not going to tell them. The world's not going to tell them. This televangelistic crowd, they're not going to tell them. They're going to focus on physical needs. They're going to focus on monetary gain. Why? Ain't no money in getting people saved. Y'all all right? I'm out. If that crowd can heal, knock yourself out. But they can't. If they could heal, they could raise from the dead. It's that simple. Well, I know somebody who went to one of them preachers and got healed. If they did, the preacher didn't do it. God did it.
Amen.
Wasn't the preacher healed nobody. If he healed somebody, he could raise them from the dead. Same power. Same power. Anyway, that is the people of witnessing. Now, in their same verse, I want you to notice the power of witnessing. The power of witnessing. Let me say it again. Not just the people of witnessing, the power of witnessing. If you go in your strength, you will fail. Let me say it again. If you go in your strength, you will fail. When's the last time you asked God to put somebody in your path? How many of you know it when you're supposed to witness somebody? I mean, you just run into somebody and just bam, something inside you, your heart starts. I know, I can just tell by my heart. I mean, I don't witness to everybody I sit by on a plane, but when I sit by that one, that heart starts going. And I start hunting excuses. When my flesh starts fighting it, I know that's somebody I'm supposed to witness to. And that's when I had to kick myself in the rear end and go, excuse me. Amen. Actually, what I'll do is I'll start praying. Lord, do you want me to witness this person? Open the door. Open the door. God, let them say something. And you blow your mind how many times they do. Especially when you open this book out and put it on your little tray table in front of you. You a preacher? Ah, yeah. Are you a Christian? Well, no. Open door. Open door. We need to pray and trust God for His power to witness. For His power to witness. I remember one time we were all going to San Diego for the pastor's conference out there. And Brother Freddie and Brother William, Brother Eric Knight, I believe, they was on standby. I had a bought ticket, I believe, and I was out at, no, I was preaching on Sunday down there in San Francisco. But they flew out on Monday morning. And Brother Eric was just a witness to this guy on the plane. And he just kept on and kept on. And the guy finally looked over. Wasn't it Eric? And the guy looked, act like he had a radio knob. He said, turn it off. Wasn't that what he said, Brother Williams? Something like that. He looked at Eric and said, turn it off. But I don't want to hear it no more. Amen. We need to pray that when we do get the gumption and we do get the nerve to open our mouth to witness, that those words are anointed with the power of God, that they'll find resting place in the heart of that one that's listening. Listen, just as God can give you the power to witness, He can give somebody else the power to hear. There's no telling how many times I physically heard the gospel. No telling how many times. Brother Freddie's testimony is totally different than mine. He didn't grow up in church. First time he heard the gospel, he got saved. Is that right? First time he heard the gospel, he got saved. Boy, I wish I could say that. I started hearing the gospel as gun barrel straight as it can be told from the time I was a four-year-old. By the time I was old enough to understand English, I was hearing the gospel. And I heard it, and I heard it, and I heard it. We throw these big preachers' names around here sometimes. Billy Kelly, Brother Charles mentioned him tonight. Brother Sammy Allen, Brother Edgar Thomas, Brother Ed Ballou, all these Mays Jackson, all these, I heard every one of them guys preach the gospel. Heard every one of them. But you know what? I never really heard the gospel.
Amen.
But one night the power of God came on me. The convicting power of God.
Amen. Oh, yes.
And I heard for the first time without anybody even saying it. I heard the gospel in my heart for the very first time. And God can use you to be that mouthpiece to convey his message to somebody who's lost and on their way to hell. Right back where we were, Acts chapter 1, he said, but ye, in verse number 8, ye shall receive what?
Power.
After that, the what? Holy Ghost is come upon you. Now listen, I know people talk about the second blessing and the second filling and all this good stuff. Listen, when you are saved, you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. But that doesn't make you spiritual. Does that make sense? You can have the Holy Spirit living in you and be carnal as all get out. Amen. Let me say it again. You can have the Holy Spirit indwelt in your heart and be carnal as all get out. The reason so many are not effective witnesses is because they are not filled with the power and the Spirit of God. Let me tell you something. Brother J. Bison. None of his family's here tonight, so I don't even have to be careful about what I say. Brother J. Bice was far from perfect. Who am I missing? Oh, yeah. I ain't going to say nothing bad. Nothing he'd care for me to say anyway. He was far from perfect. He was out of church for over 15 years. Didn't even go. But he was still witness to people. I'm here to tell you, I've stood in his body shop over and over again, and I would stand there sanding on a truck, hit block sanding. Anybody know what that is? You wrap a piece of sandpaper around a piece of wood, and you rub till your arm stinking falls off. And that was my job. And somebody come up and start talking to him, and he'd start witnessing to him. And I'm sanding that truck thinking, Doc, you ain't been in church in 10 years. And you over there, and the next thing you know, that old guy standing there, big old tears running down his face. You know what that was? That was the power of the Spirit of God. Working through a man who wasn't even in church. You can sit and look cross-eyed at me all you want to. I'll watch that thing with my own eyes, friend.
Amen.
And I believe if you've got the desire to see somebody saved, God will fill you with what you need to get them saved. Whether you're living perfect or whether you're living right, God will still use you.
Amen.
Amen. Watched it over and over and over. We was at New Georgia store one day. New Georgia store, standing there talking. The traffic backed up at the four-way stop before they had the red light down there. As a truck driver, it's summertime, a big old dump truck driver coming from that rock quarry on Mulberry Rock Road pulled up that stop sign out there, and Jay said, hang on, I'll be right back. Brother Jay goes over there and jumps on the running board of his truck and hanging on to the handle, and the guy's moving along with traffic. The guy said, I got to move. They're moving up. Jay said, I'm fine. And he just started witnessing the old boy right there. Finally, his truck got about even with New Georgia Baptist Church parking lot, and the guy said, can we just pull in here? And the guy got saved right there.
Amen.
You know what that was? That was the power of God. Amen. I want our church to be filled with the power of God. That when the message is preached on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night in the teen church, in junior church, in children's church or in the patch club or the peewee club or anywhere it may be or on the street corner at McDonald's, wherever it is, that it be endued and anointed with the power of God, that it carries a weight about it when we proclaim it.
Amen.
Amen. People in this area have heard it and heard it and heard it and heard it and heard it, but I want them to do more than hear it. I want them to hear it. I want that thing to set like a ton of bricks on their chest. I want sinners, when they sit on this pew, to go, oh, my God, he's talking to me. Are you listening? We need the power of God. We've got the people of witnessing. You said we do? Mm-hmm. I'm looking at them. You. I don't know how many's in here tonight. Probably 60, 75. I don't know. There's twice as many as that out yonder. There's enough people right here to upset this town in a big way. If everybody just got full of the Spirit of God and went our separate ways tomorrow, full of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. Listen, you're not going to do it till you get a desire to. Amen. You're not going to do it just because you're supposed to. You need to pray God to give you a want to. Amen. We've got the power of the Spirit. Look at Romans chapter number 1. I'll probably quit on this one. Romans chapter number 1. What time is it? It's hard to preach with just one hand. Romans chapter number 1. Look at verse number 16. We've got the power of the Spirit. Now watch this. He said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the what? Power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Listen, we have the power of the Spirit, but we also have the power of the Scriptures. I think it's important to use the Bible when you're dealing with somebody. Then that way they're not taking my word for it, and they're not taking your word for it. They're taking the word of God for it. And I'm not so dogmatic that you can't use the Scriptures on a gospel tract. Scripture is Scripture. Amen. You go back there and get one of those fellowship tract leagues, every one of them has copies of Scripture inside that tract. Amen. Listen, the Word of God, the Bible said, it's powerful. It's quick, sharper than any two-edged sword. Man, this book will get the job done if we'll use it. And we'll use it with wisdom in the right way. We're supposed to use it to help, not to kill people. Amen. I know some people know just enough Bible, they're dangerous. Amen. Listen, man, quit worrying about them deep, dark mysteries. If you ain't got the plan of salvation down, if you can't explain that, you sure don't need to be explaining the horses in the apocalypse. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you stay away from that junk, man. Get the stuff that'll keep somebody out of hell first. Amen. I got saved. I didn't know where to start reading my Bible. John Robertson was our pastor at the time. I said, preacher, what's the first book I ought to read in the Bible? He said, read the book of John, son. Amen. Read the book of John. He said, don't stop till you get on with it. Read the book of John. I read the book of John through 3 times. Blew me away. Amen. I'd heard it all my life, but I'd never read it for myself. I read enough little portions to memorize my memory verses for Sunday school or for our Christian school, so you didn't get a paddling or a demerit, but I'd never really read the Bible. Amen. You know what I found out? That thing will change your life. Yeah, amen. That thing will change your life. Man, it's hard. When you're looking at somebody and you've got them to the point they'll let you read the Bible to them, it's a hard thing for them to ignore, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now look, friend, I didn't say that. God did. And he didn't just say it about me. He didn't just say it about you. He said about me too. He said, for all have sinned. You got to put yourself on their level. Amen. I'm telling you, that book's pretty powerful. We've got the power of the Spirit. We've got the power of the Scriptures. In Acts chapter number 4, we got the power of supplication. Pray. We can pray. Pray as we go. Pray, but when you get up in the morning, how many of y'all know exactly who you're going to come in contact with tomorrow? You know some, but you don't know who you might meet. You never know. So it'd be a good idea before you ever leave your house, pray. Lord, whoever I may come in contact with today, help me, Lord, to be a faithful witness. Help me to be a faithful witness. Man, if you start praying about witnessing, you know what you'll do? You'll witness. If you start praying God to help you, Lord, help me to hand out so many gospel tracts today. Boy, if you pray and ask God, hey, that's a spiritual thing, but it's also a physical thing. You're committing yourself. When you pray and ask God to give you the power to witness, you're committing yourself to witness. When you pray and ask God to help you hand out so many gospel tracts, you're committing yourself to hand out those gospel tracts. And then when you don't do it, you feel like a dog the next time you pray. You ever prayed like that and then didn't do nothing about it? And the next time you prayed, the Lord brought that back to your memory? Oh, yeah. The Lord says, about them tracts you was going to hand out? Oh, yeah, God. I forgot all about that. I didn't, son. How about let's do better on that tomorrow? Amen. We've got the people of witnessing. We've got the power of witnessing. And God even gave us the place of witnessing. The place of witnessing. In Acts chapter number 1, what did he say? In Judea, in Samaria, in the uttermost parts of the earth. He said it starts at home and goes out from there. It starts at home and goes out from there. Listen, if we didn't witness to Villa Rica, we're wasting our time sending missionaries to another part of the world. Amen. It's got to start here. Our old church building, when you walked out the door, there's a sign over the door that said, you're now entering the mission field. And it is. You know we're all missionaries? Every one of us, you're a missionary to your job. Brother B.J. Bearden isn't here tonight, but that guy has brought more people from his work. All of them hadn't stuck, but buddy, he's brought a few and they got saved. Isn't that something? Man, he's been a missionary on his job. What a blessing. I want to encourage you to do that. Be a missionary where you work. Don't get yourself fired. I've had people, I got to be careful. I've had people get mad and quit their job because they got in trouble for witnessing. Don't quit your job. If they've got a rule, do not break it. Do not break it. They're the ones paying you. Ain't got nothing to do with the message. I just thought I'd throw that in. They're the ones paying you. You do what they say. If they got a problem with you handing out tracts on the job, don't do it. You wait till you get off and you're not on the clock. Catch them as they're going to their car, whatever the case may be. Don't break the rules. It doesn't make you super spiritual if you quit your job because you got in trouble for witnessing. In many cases, it could just make you a jerk. I know guys that some I grew up around and I went to camp with as a kid. They wasn't from our church, but they'd go to a certain town near where we went to camp. And they'd preach on the streets and then brag about how they got locked up. They didn't go to preach. They went to get locked up. They went out there to stir trouble. That's what they did. And it's what they got. Amen. Wrong motive. Wrong motive. I promise you at the judgment seat, that'll burn. Won't be nothing left. Amen. He's given us the place to witness. He said the uttermost parts of the earth. I'm just going to throw these out to you. Acts chapter 5 and verse number 42. It was from house to house. From house to house. Every now and then we team up and take out and do a big visitation. You know, Brother William map that thing out, or Brother Freddie, one of these guys. You know what we do? We just go to the subdivision where they tell us, you go here. That's where we go. And you know what we do? Go house to house. We've done it, a bunch of us together, half of us on one side of the street and half on the other, another part in the back of the subdivision. We start and we go and we meet in the middle. I believe that's Bible. I do. I believe it's Bible. I know churches today are spending fortunes in bulk mailing and all that. I believe eyeball to eyeball, door to door is far better than something in their mailbox. I'm not against the bulk mailing, but that wasn't God's plan. He said house to house. Amen. I believe it still works. I believe it still works. Amen. He's given us the people of witnessing. That's me and you. He's given us the power of witnessing, his spirit, his scriptures, the power of prayer. He's given us place to witness, the uttermost parts of the earth, house to house. In Luke chapter 14, to the streets and the lanes, he said. Remember, he sent his son, said, go back in the streets and the lanes and compel them to come. Amen. In other words, everywhere you go is a place to witness. Everywhere you go is a place to witness. You can just use little catchphrases. When you go check out at the supermarket or Walmart and they say, thank you, have a good day. Say, you too, God bless you. See how they respond. Yeah. See how they respond. The people of witnessing. That's us. That's us. We ought to be more serious about doing our job. I've been praying, Lord, help me with this. And you know what? I don't care who you are. You get slack. I don't care who you are. Let me say it again. You get slack. And brother, we all need to tune up every now and then, from the pulpit to the balcony. Oh, I'm sorry, Brother James, you're the only one up there. I wasn't trying to single you out. Amen. Well, I'm just saying it includes us all. Every now and then, hey, if you're truly saved, I believe the Lord will convict you about it, that you hadn't shared the gospel with somebody. We are. That is God's plan. That's how he did it. God could do it any way he wanted. His face could show up in the eastern sky in the morning. His face could show up right there and the whole world could see it at the same time. And he could say, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He could do that. Do you understand that? He could interrupt every satellite and TV program in the world and put his face on the screen. On that screen, he could show the world a picture of hell. And you could see the rich man that he told us about in his word, down there screaming, begging for a drip of water on his tongue. He could do that. Yes, sir. And you know what? Probably a bunch would get saved. That wasn't his plan. That wasn't his plan. Isn't it amazing that he could do anything he wanted, but instead he chose me and you? I think it's pretty special that we get to be his ambassadors, his spokesperson. It's an honor. It's an honor. I know a lot of times we preach, man, you're wicked as all the devil if you don't witness and you don't hand out tracts. Blah, blah. I'm not trying to convey that message tonight. I'm trying to convey the message, hey, we get to do this. The Lord chose us. I was predestined. Amen. I was, and so were you. And we get to tell a lost and a dying world we are the people of witnessing. We're sons, we're servants, we're saints. We have the power of witnessing. We have the Spirit of God. We have the Scriptures of God, and we have prayer and supplication. We can pray and ask God who to send us to. I believe in divine appointments. I do. There's some people you just run into because you just ran into. There's some people because God set that thing up. God set that thing up plain as day and had you get eyeball to eyeball. Have you ever been in one of those situations where you realized it was a divine appointment? Brother Robbie, I believe it was a divine appointment the day that y'all met Brother Rusty and Stacy at a yard sale or Walmart. And then at Walmart. God just let you keep coming head to head, didn't he? That wasn't coincidence. You ever had somebody look at you and go, we got to stop meeting like this? There might be a reason for it. If you keep running into the same person just out of the blue over and over, wonder why that is. It may not be a coincidence. It may be that God wants you to open your mouth. Say, hey, are you going to church anywhere? Sure would like you to come to my church. Did you hear I got saved? Did you hear about that? Did you hear what God's done for me? Amen. You are the people of witnessing. Let's stand at our feet tonight. Maybe we'll look at the rest of this a little bit later. No pew jumping or chandelier swinging. But you come back in here with a convert hanging off your arm, you'll be shouting. Amen. As you pick up your prayer sheet tonight, why don't you add to that prayer sheet, Lord, help me to be a witness. Help me to be a witness. Help me to invite somebody to be in church with me Sunday morning. Amen.